back and enjoy the Two True Freaks Internet Radio Broadcast.
The prequel trilogy is over, and millions of fans are left without Star Wars. Enter a brave group of Jedi, led by Dave Filoni, who brought tales of the Jedi, clone armies, and Mandalorians to Cartoon Network, thus keeping hope alive in the galaxy. Welcome to J-Guys and Jedi.
Hi everyone, welcome to a brand new episode of J-Guys and Jedi, a weekly podcast covering every episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars. In this episode, Anakin, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan must lead the escaped prisoners from the Citadel across the Lola Seyu's perilous landscape as Plo Koon commands a task force of daring rescue. There will be Ahsoka Stink Eye, charred Chucky Yoda, and Farkin and Anakin bonding over their mutual friend, Palpatine. Oh, we're talking about Citadel Rescue this week. I got jokes. Hi, Chris.
You can't spell Palpatine without Pal.
The same way you can't spell slaughter without laughter.
Yeah.
How you doing, Chris?
Good.
Do you have a good week?
So far, so good. It's getting into summer where I'm just constantly busy. I'm getting set up for, I'm going to have a garage sale this weekend.
Oh,
so I was digging stuff out and putting it on my front porch today, all day today.
Oh, so you're personally having a garage
sale. Yes.
Oh.
Clearing out some space, hopefully.
I keep driving by, like, garage sales and stuff, and I keep wanting to stop, but I'm always, like, on my way to work, and I never get a chance to. And then when I have time, I don't have cash on me.
Oh, I went to last garage sale. I got a bunch of those Star Wars Matchbox cars. I got,
That's your new thing now.
I know. I've got, like, 13 or 14 of them now. I got the Ghost, which wasn't, like, an adapted, it was just straight up the Ghost. And I got, why can't I remember his name? I'm looking right at my figure of him.
Rebels or Clone Wars or original
Rebels.
Trilogy? Kanan!
No.
Ezra!
Purple
Zeb.
Guy. Zeb.
Zeb.
I got the Zeb van.
He's a van?
Yeah. The best one was the C-3PO. The C-3PO is really cool. It looks like a Flash Gordon hippie van.
I like that it's a van.
Oh,
like
I got Chopper, too.
Is there a Callus?
There was not a Callus, at least that I saw. There was a Hera.
Oh, is it green?
It was.
Oh.
I don't know if I got that one. I got a whole pile of them. I got Darth Vader. I got the Yoda mobile that has two little green ears coming out of it.
Okay. That sounds cool.
It's like a little VW bug with two ears. It looks more like a baseball cap with two ears.
Oh. Is there, I wonder what a Sabine one would look like, because she has had so much different, like, hair and everything.
The Sabine one, all I remember is it had graffiti all over it.
Oh, that's cool.
They're all really cool. I got some Clone Wars books, too. I got a Grievous Attacks book that is probably going to Dario's son. I got a Clone Wars coloring book. I'm keeping that, though.
Hey, I just thought of something. Because something I remember when I was much younger, in the Yale days before iPhones and stuff, when you went to a convention, especially to the Artist Alley, you just pretty much had to bring a big wad of cash and get your cash before the ATM ran out of cash. But now we have, like, squares, and a lot of artists and, like, artist alleys and stuff like that have squares. So they can run credit cards and stuff. Do people use squares or anything at garage sales?
I haven't seen any yet. But, I mean, most people going to garage sales have cash on them, too. But, I, you know, it would sort of, I mean, I guess it would be okay if you're selling big ticket items, but a lot of the point of having a garage sale is it's cash, which means you don't get credit card charges on it and all that stuff.
Yeah.
Because I imagine when you're using a Square, it's charging you for each transaction. That would have to be how it works. So, yeah, it's better to get the cash at the garage sale. But I'm sure it'll happen. I'm sure at, like, flea markets it happens.
Because I was thinking about that. Like, I could see it sit, like, we have a big-ass flea market nearby, and I've always wanted to go, and I never go because it's only on weekends, and I always work weekends. But I've always wanted to go, and I could see them doing it there, but then I was just like, I rarely carry cash on me. I usually only just keep, like, $10 just in case I'm, like, stuck and I need to buy a meal. But that's about it. Like, I rarely carry cash on me more than, you know, $10. And so I would wonder about that, if I could, like, go to a garage sale and just be like, hey, here's my car, and they swipe it at me.
They would probably laugh at you. I know, you do garage sales down there.
Like, hot and mostly clothes and on people's yards. So, I had a weekend. It was my sister's wedding.
How'd that go?
It was a thing.
My big wedding's in September.
Oh, who do you know that's getting married?
What's that?
Who do you know that's getting married?
I don't really know them.
Oh, okay.
I'm marrying them. I'm officiating the wedding.
Oh, cool.
I'm getting paid to be. It was a guy I worked with for about 2 or 3 months. Worked maybe like 10 or 15 shifts with him, maybe at the most.
Uh-huh.
And, he heard I did a wedding once before, and he said, hey, you want to do my wedding? I said, sure! So that's I'm all cool. Ordained up and ready to go. I'm going to go out to lunch with he and his future wife and get to know him enough so I can write an introduction to their ceremony. They're writing their own vows, so I just have to read off their vows. That'll be easy.
Yeah,
getting some of that podcasting experience. Public speaking, you know, comes in handy. Anybody out there needs a wedding? I'd do it for a small fee and travel expenses. I'll even waive some of the expenses in special cases. Hair metal hero.
Oh, Chris is getting married.
It'll never happen. It'll never happen. That's going to be a Catholic wedding. There's no way Hair Metal Hero's family would tolerate. You know, I'd have to pretend I was a Catholic priest or something. Which I'm not averse to doing, but yeah.
My sister's wedding was a thing. It was a very southern, stereotypical, redneck-ish wedding. I make it sound like... It's a very long story that I won't tell because we'll be here for the next 20 minutes of me telling the story of this wedding. But the very base premise of is I love my sister, but I don't think she really thought through, like, everything that goes into a wedding. So it was just, like, little things. Like it was on a campsite, and the reception was in the big cabin at the top of a hill. And then you go down this gravel path to an amphitheater, and that's where they had the actual wedding. And she didn't think about old people and ladies in heels needing help going down this gravel hill, so I ended up being an impromptu usher for anybody I spotted having trouble walking down the hill. But I was like the coordinator for the wedding and telling everybody where to walk, and it was like herding cats. Drunk, yeah. Stupid cats.
I had that job once, and yes, that's exactly what it's like.
Drunk, stupid cats. But it ended up being fun. I got to see my mom and all my siblings. Like, I got to see all my siblings. We're all together in one room. I got to see all my nieces and my nephews, all 9 of them. 10 of them now. I'm sorry, 10. And
yikes.
I had to think about that because they just keep multiplying. No, 9. I didn't get to see Maddie. She didn't come. So, yeah, Maddie was the only one I didn't get to see. So, 9. And
90% of them.
Yeah, so... We had a good time, so it was fun. Once I could drink at the reception. It was a thing. It was an ordeal. It was a weekend.
Yikes.
Yeah. It's okay. It was a thing. It's over now.
Mine might be lower pressure.
Well, it's more just like, you better believe when I get married, I'm cashing in that karma.
Right.
I don't want to be calling up and be like, you better be the first one there! After the shit you put me through, you're there! 9 a.m.! Come, help me set up! So, yeah, it could be a long, like, 20-minute story if I went into the whole ideal, but which I'm not going to.
You gotta make people, you gotta put an obstacle, like, a bona fide, like, army obstacle course between, you know, where the reception and the ceremony are, so, just to get revenge.
Make her, like, walk.
You have to, like, lift Grandpa over, you know, a log and put him back in the wheelchair, wheel him a little further, hook him up to the rope and, like, sort of slide him over the pit with the water in it.
Yes, that's
get
exactly
some revenge.
And then she has to stage a lightsaber fight. I don't know. It'll be interesting.
It's going to be something along those lines.
Whenever I do actually get married one day, as I plan my wedding, as I'm not dating anybody, it's fine. Well, you ready to jump into this episode?
I am ready.
I'm ready too. Let's do it.
Let's...
Ready? Okay.
Let's get the fark into this.
I just had like a cheerleading moment. Ready? Okay. Farkin, he's our man. I do have to say that somebody wrote, I wrote when we posted the first episode for the Citadel, I was just like, and introducing fucking Tarkin, aka Tarkin, and they were like, oh my god, I love this, I'm gonna use this forever. Someone commented on Twitter about that, so.
Excellent.
Alright. So, Citadel Rescue is the 64th episode of Star Wars The Clone Wars and aired on March 11th, 2011. It was written by Matt Michnovitz and directed by Stuart Lee. Some extra episode information for you. Even Peele's death in the episode greatly contradicts his later chronological death in Coruscant Nights 1, Jedi Twilight, and 19BB. On March 11, 2011, Leland Chee stated that on his StarWars.com blog that he was killed in the novel because of the potential continuity issues regarding of his council membership. However, the Star Wars Coruscant Nights trilogy was completed, and it turned out that the Citadel Rescue would rewrite his death, and they attempted to minimize the number of sources that contradicted this. The contradiction was removed when the Coruscant Nights trilogy was put into the Legends continuity in 2014. Sadly, this was the third least watched episode of the entire Clone Wars series, with only 1.54 million viewers. As Tarkin clasps Anakin's hand in the final scene, the Imperial March can be heard playing in the background. In the episode featurette, Dave Filoni says, O.C. Sobek is a Findian. We are all sitting around the writer's room with George, and we're all coming up with ideas. He creates this character that he says is O.C. Sobek, and we're trying to figure out what kind of alien he's going to be. I really wanted him to be something new, something different, something we haven't seen in Star Wars. So we open up the essential guide, and we find this Findian. And I say, hey, this looks interesting, and George was all for that. We made him kind of tall and lanky. I asked the animators to give him that kind of twitching eye of that to kind of symbolize that he's stressed out when he's talking to Count Dooku. To voice O.C. Sobek, we asked James Arnold Taylor and went, you know, you do a great Christopher Walken.
Ha, I told you, I knew it.
I knew. As soon as Dave Filoni said that, I was like, Chris is going to be so happy. He totally called that one. You know, you do a great Christopher Walken. It's spot on unbelievable. I said, what if you did that, something like that, like to keep the rhythm but make it deeper and more gruff? Let's see if we can use that kind of phrasing and timing to create a kind of unique vocal performance. James did a great job interpreting that direction and creating a quirky but malevolent kind of character that I think is one of the better ones we've created for Clone Wars. When it came time for the demise of O.C. Sobek and the end of the Citadel arc, there were actually three different endings. The first one, which is, to be honest, still my favorite one, was off the original script and the original outline that it was Tarkin that killed O.C. Sobek. After Fives shot Sobek off his scooter, he fell to the ground. Tarkin walked up to Sobek as he pleaded with his life and said, no, I'm unarmed. And bang! Tarkin just shot him dead. it would have been one of the first times we see the Republic, we twist the Republic into the Empire through Tarkin. It said, this is the future. These are the kind of brutal people that are running the Republic. But when George watched the episode, he said, and I agree, what's problematic is that the Jedi witness this. It kind of makes them a bit thick not to realize that it's a bad thing to have people like Tarkin in control of the military. So I came up with a different ending where, what if Ahsoka saved Tarkin from being killed in a way that we've only seen Anakin Skywalker act? It was all interrelated, and it gets a little bit more mileage out of the character development. Ahsoka has picked up Anakin's fighting style. We saw Anakin do this on Mandalore with Tal Merrick in Season 2. It's something we've only associated with Anakin. That way Tarkin acknowledges that this was the way Ahsoka... That way Tarkin acknowledges that this way of Ahsoka assassinating Sobek comes from Anakin. She is his Padawan. I wonder what that means. Well, you'll just have to wait and see.
Yeah, that was one of my first notes, was his eye tick. I love his eye tick.
Yeah.
I love stressed out eye ticks ever since the Pink Panther movies.
Yeah, I have a note about this ending, but I want to save it for Act 3 when we actually get there. because that's an interesting possible ending that they didn't use, and I have thoughts on that.
Hey, you know who else has an interesting possible ending? A happy ending.
Hi, Yoda, did you have a good week?
Yoda's all cleared up.
Oh, would the pollen get to you?
No, not pollen.
Did you have
birds
to get
and
your,
bees.
What?
Birds and bees. Not pollen.
You had to get your neti pot gross and like drain out your ears and your nose.
Neti pot.
Neti pot sounds like a singer with the Cantina Band. It sounds like a song that the Cantina Band would do.
Oh my god, they need a character named Neti Pottle or something.
Gigantic.
And it just has like a long nose that
gigantic
sprays water
nose.
At people.
Yeah, stuff dripping out of it. Anyway.
Without honor, victory is hollow. In bed.
I kind of like this one, you know, like, honor your partner and you'll get lots of victories. In bed.
Yep, and without victory, it's just hollow. Just a hollow experience.
Yeah, that's true. It's kind of sad. Hey, masturbation can be rewarding.
Well, there's definitely a reward at the end of it, yes.
Yeah, it can be rewarding.
You
just have to honor your body, too. There's lots of honor in sex.
Sure. But there can be dishonor, too. I'm just saying, without the honor, it's just a hollow experience. There could be more than one person there. There could be three or four people there, too, and it could still be a hollow experience.
That's true, or it could be, if it's on a Star Wars, they probably have, like, robots or some gross thing. Size snoodles, slide snoodles in there.
Battle droids would just be like, hey, is it in yet? I don't know. I'll still respect you in the morning.
Unless you're a Jedi.
Unless you're a Jedi.
Oh, no, Jedi!
No, that would be their dirty talk. They'd be like, you're a dirty Jedi.
Oh, beep,
Just the idea of the battle droid's dirty talking would be the most ridiculous thing in the world. Although there would probably be a lot of, like, Roger, 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 Roger.
I like it when you hit me like Grievous. Okay, so Act 1.
Act 1, I'm ready.
Alright, so. Okay, time to catch up. So our heroes are stuck on a planet, having escaped a killer prison called the Citadel. They saved Master Evan Peel and fucking Tarkin, aka Farkin, who have super secret hyperspace lane knowledge. While trying to escape, their only ride got blown up. Oh, and Five's best friend Echo died. And now Anakin, Ahsoka, and Obi-Wan lead Farkin and Master Peel across the stupid, terrible land terrain of the Citadel planet that will probably kill some of them. Oh, and there's a dick of a warden named Osi Sobek, who's on Count Dooku's last nerve, and probably won't get a Christmas card from the Count. And R2-D2 is leading a small band of three-man group of reprogrammed battle droids who are really, really freaking adorable. And everybody has to stay alive until Mommy Plo Koon can pick them up from the pick up the kids from the evil pool party. So we got all that, right? Okay, here we go. So our heroes work their way across some maze-like paths through the swamp lava. And Peel calls Wet Blanket Windu and Yoda, and they have one small chance to get out of there on a tiny little island in the middle of some lava that just doesn't look like a lot of fun to get to. And then the heroes get ambushed by droids, and they fight back. And Fives throws a grenade and takes out a rock pillar, smashing the droids. And the Jedi are certain more will come, so they gotta get out of there. Meanwhile, back at the Citadel, Osi Sobek gets a Skype call from Count Dooku. And Dooku is like, Didn't you hear that I called you? Why didn't you text me back? And Sobek is like, I was looking for the prisoners. And Dooku is like, you better get them soon or else you're going to end up being dead to me, girl. Dooku out.
Literally dead to him.
Yeah. That's all I had. Our act one was like a 5-minute fight of them trying to get out of this like maze area and then talking to Master Jedis and stuff. Not a lot happened in act one.
Well, my only note was I like the warden's eye twitch.
That's
it
right.
It reminds me of Dreyfus in the Pink Panther movies.
That's okay, because all I had for this was, I don't really have much for this act. It was all set up for the rest of the episode. I'm surprised we didn't have Tarkin in it in the opening act, because opposed to the synopsis, because he's a captain. I feel like he was just, you know, the Jedi are making all these plans, and he's so opinionated about, like, and being anti-Jedi. I was just waiting for him to be like, well, this is a stupid plan. And with this being a Jedi rescue plan, I just felt like he would have some opinion as they're planning on how to get off the planet.
If he didn't have that information, one of the clones would have probably just chucked him into the lava at some point.
It probably would have been Five. So he'd have been like, oops.
Whoops. Hey, whoa. Right. See that? The legs just gave way.
And then Five would be the greatest hero of Star Wars.
Right, right.
Accidentally
save a
shove
lot
Anakin
of lives.
Oh, I was about to say he would shove Anakin too, but he has to wait till he knocks at Padme, and then he can shove Anakin into lava. Oh, wait, Obi-Wan did!
Oh.
They'd have some fun in hell together. It'd be great. Well, that's all I have for Act 1, Act 2.
I know, wow, look at that.
I know.
Dear God, that's the shortest act we've ever done in Jedi history.
5 minutes, and they spent like two of them talking to Yoda and Windu, and then like the other 3 minutes fighting. Like,
oh,
that
yeah, I mean your description of it spent more time basically on the catch up to where we are than it does with what's of the story. Yeah, I mean, I'm still digging it. You know, it's good Star Wars, but yeah, not a lot to talk about yet.
Yeah. All right, well here we go. Act 2.
Act 2. Woohoo!
Woohoo!
I'm gonna rock it here.
The heroes run along a ridge with more droids attack them. Boxed then, they have no other place to go but down to a lower cliff. Locking in cables, Farkin piggybacks on Anakin as they climb down. The heroes need time to get down the cliff, so it's up to R2-D2's reprogrammed battle droids to hold off the enemies. R2-D2's battle droids say it was an honor to fight with R2, and they rush into battle to get destroyed, and I am upset. And the clones and the Jedi and Farkin can barely make it down the cliff and down to an underground tunnel. We hop over to Mommy Plo Koon chatting with Jedi and planning attacks, and they're all like, well, I hope our friends are at the rendezvous point when we arrive, or else we're all dead. And then back at the Citadel, Sobek has no more fucks left to give. He releases these hyena creatures called Anubas to track down the Jedi, and the Anubas rush out into the night. Back with the heroes, Farkin is finally complaining about how sucky the Jedi are, and how the plan sucks, and Obi-Wan sucks, and Ahsoka sucks, but Anakin is pretty chill in his eyes, but sucky sucks, suck Jedi. And Master Peel is like, oh my god, not this again. Shut up, Tarkin, no one cares. And Ahsoka gives Tarkin a huge stink eye and rolls her eyes and finally says what I've been waiting for someone to say this entire episode arc. Why did Master Peel have to trust Farkin with half of the information? Farkin is an ungrateful bitch who isn't happy that they rescued him, and oh man, can he just hurry up and die in a fire already? Anakin explains that Farkin just wants the Jedi to get out of the war. Ahsoka says, that's a dumb idea. And Anakin emphasizes that they're not soldiers. The Jedi Code prevents them from doing what's necessary to get victory. Anakin ends with, yeah, Tarkin's a dick, but he's a good captain. And then everyone freezes when they hear a howl in the distance. And they go, what freaking horror movie did we just walk into? They carry on, and Anakin jokes with Farkin. Farkin doesn't joke and is like, I don't need you, Jedi, to like me. I've made friends with Palpatine, and he thinks I'm going to have a great future. Anakin's like, dude, I'm total besties with Palpatine. And Farkin is like, dude, you and I have so much in common. And Ahsoka is behind them, looking more and more stunned as this is unfolding before her. I'm seriously not kidding. Watch that scene and just watch Ahsoka's look of surprise and a little touch of horror. They hear the Anubis catching up and they make a plan. Obi-Wan and Anakin will be distractions. Ahsoka and even Peele will keep everyone else moving ahead towards the rendezvous. Obi-Wan and Anakin take the Anubas and the droids that follow. They fight them. Ahsoka and Peele are ambushed by a spider droid. Rex grabs Farkin and the rescued clones to press ahead, meeting up with Obi-Wan and Anakin. Everyone is fighting now, including, finally, fucking Tarkin. It only took 3 episodes for Farkin to finally pick up a damn blaster, and he's actually not a bad shot. Back with Ahsoka and Peele, they take out the last of the spider droids, but a rogue Anuba jumps out of nowhere and mauls Master Peele. She dispatches the Anubas, and Peele says she must memorize the hyperspace coordinates. Ahsoka doesn't think that she deserves it because she lied to get on the mission. Peele says that she's now the most important part of the mission and tells her the hyperspace codes, making her swear to tell nobody but the Jedi Council. Team Anna Obi Farkin finish off the last of the droids. Obi-Wan spots off in the distance Ahsoka and gasps seeing who she's carrying. She hands Anakin Master Peele's body, saying that he died honorably, and she has the information now. Even though they're on a time schedule, they take a few minutes to put Master Peele in the lava in a quick funeral of sorts. Even Farkin seems to have somewhat of a tiny emotion in this scene. The team presses on towards the rendezvous point. Meanwhile, Sobek is tired of shit, and he finally goes after the Jedi himself. What'd you think of Act 2?
It had some great... The action was great in this one. Like, sound and good editing in the battle scenes. It was just... I was watching it, I'm like, this is movie-level, you know, production.
Yeah!
If it had like real actors and stuff in it, it would be, you know, top of the line movie level. It was just very, very well done.
We even got some Anakin backflip parkouring.
Mm-hmm.
Like the triple backflip, like the flip, black the bolt. I was like, oh, Anakin, look at you. That was really way unnecessary.
The weird thing is the Anubas weren't supposed to, remember he was like, only use them for tracking, don't let them attack. And they were totally disregarded that.
Yeah.
And just let the Anubas do whatever they wanted to. The space doggies I have down here, they're space doggies.
I put hyenas, so. Because they remind me of the hyenas in Lion King.
I liked Anakin and Tarkin schmoozing over, you know, their celebrity friends, but it makes me wonder if Tarkin might not know a little bit about what's going on with Palpatine, because I guess, well, you know that creepy blue guy that hangs out with him all the time that supposedly was in on the whole everything along the way?
Yeah, Mos Amita.
Yeah, maybe Tarkin is a little bit too, because when Anakin's like, oh, I'm good friends with him too, Tarkin's like, oh, and like, maybe thinking, oh, maybe Anakin's got a, you know, little evil in him too, like us.
I wonder if Tarkin does not. I'm going to Google it right fast. Google. Does Tarkin know Palpatine. I spin spell Palpatine is a Sith Lord. See how much of it I miss. I put Dallas Targan, no, Palpatine.
That just went out forever into the internet to be stored in an engine somewhere.
Is a Sibbet Lord. Let's see.
I don't know. Are there any stories with Tarkin and Palpatine between here and Star Wars? You know, I don't think...
There's a freaking Tarkin novel. Don't know where it takes place, though, because I haven't read it, because I don't care.
Right.
So... I don't know, because I know Moss Mageta does, and...
Just the way he reacts seemed like he might have a little idea.
Yeah.
And I was sorry to see Chucky go.
Yeah.
Flesh Chucky. Flesh Yoda. Flesh-colored Yoda. Flesh-crayon Yoda. One-eyed, two-eared, flesh-colored people-eater.
Even fights like Yoda, too. Like, they're kind of, like, bouncing around and, like, running under things and cutting it from the bottom.
It's kind of how you'd have to do it when you're, like, 2 feet tall.
Yeah.
I would think.
I give up on my Tarkin search. I don't find anything but, like, forums. And if people are debating if he knows.
He's got to be even more... have to do more work because he's only got one eye, so he's got less depth perception, too.
I do like the idea of him, like, trying to cut a droid. The droid's, like, 4 feet in front of him.
4 feet in front of him, yeah, he's just, like, swinging.
I'm just like, I can closer. Okay, let's check.
He probably does a lot better after 3 or 4 shots of space vodka.
Oh, he probably does. He's probably one of those that just, like, can drive better. No, kids don't drink and drive.
That's all I had for this act.
So, for me, I had a bunch of... silly notes at the top.
You've got a big old pile of notes on this one.
First and foremost, now I want to see Tarkin piggyback on Vader at just places, and Vader's just like, oh, not these again.
Who said they didn't do that all the time, like on the Death Star, when they would go out in the hallway? You know, when they came into the, like, conference room, who's to say that they weren't in the hallway with Tarkin riding piggyback on Vader till they got to the door, and then he hopped off and they walked in?
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't hop off.
It might have been their thing. No, it might have been their little private thing.
He wouldn't hop off. Like, Vader would just, like, throw him off his back, just like, you're here. Can we have R2 have battle droids all the time? Because I love them, and I hate that they were destroyed.
Yeah, they didn't last long, did they?
Yeah, and in big letters, I wrote, no, the battle droids! But they were so cute. They were like, for honor and valor!
Didn't even slow him down.
But it was still, like, precious, and I loved them. So I want to point out something in this episode that I've never noticed, and I've watched this episode many, many times, because it's one of my favorites of season 3. While the heroes are going down the cliffs on the cables, and, like, Tarkin's on Anakin's back, one of the clone's cables gets shot out, and the clone falls to his death, and Tarkin fucking smiles? I never noticed it before! Like, what a dick! Like, those men died, and he smiles. Like, what kind of monster are you, you low-life piece of shit monster garbage man?
He's a sadist.
I know, but I never noticed it before. Like, I saw that, I paused it, I was just like, oh, bitch, just laughed at one of my clones dying. Bitch,
it's on
for now. Oh, it just pissed me off so much. I was, like, screaming, just like, Tarkin, you monster! Though it does make me happy in this act that Master Peel and Ahsoka are both, like, absolutely done with Tarkin. Like, yep. They're just over his shit. Especially Peel. I feel like Peel is just like, when he goes back to his room, he just is just like, oh my god, Mace, let me tell you what Tarkin did today. And Mace is just like, ugh, I don't want to hear it. And he's just like, so today, Tarkin was, like, talking, and it annoyed the shit out of me. And, like, Ahsoka has, like, a very short, tolerance for Tarkin. She was just like, I am so done with you right now. I'm gonna do my short one before I go to my bigger one. Tarkin said that he made friends with Palpatine is the most chilling line because you know how much weight that one little tiny piece of dialogue holds. Mm-hmm. I think one of the best parts of this episode is just watching Ahsoka in the background reacting to Tarkin and Anakin. because she's not saying much, but this arc just really adds more and more steps to her leaving the Jedi Order, because she starts to see, like, the quote-unquote good guys are like. And the Separatist Mina and Lux that she met earlier in the season are way nicer than Tarkin is.
Yeah. Well, Tarkin, you don't even need to be, like, empathetic or have Jedi powers to sense that Tarkin's kind of a turd, you know?
Yeah, he's just a dick.
Yeah.
Alright, so kind of like my two big ones of this one. Anakin Ahsoka's conversation about the Jedi and the war was super telling about how they were raised in two different time periods. It reminds me back to, I think it was Brandon Vader's, when Vera Zofri and Ahsoka were talking about the Jedi being peacekeepers versus being soldiers. And when Anakin was a Padawan, there was no war. He was brought up in peacetime, and he probably just had, like, strict, you know, Jedi classes and stuff like that, but he was brought up in a peacetime. Ahsoka is a Padawan being raised in war. I mean, this is all she knows. I mean, she's just like, that's stupid. Jedi are supposed to be in war, because she doesn't know how to be any other kind of Jedi. And so I don't think she understands what it means to be a peacekeeper. And she talked with Barriss about that a little bit too, because she's never had a chance to be a peacekeeper. And to be honest, though, I think being raised in war like that is what made Ahsoka and Kanan, who's also currently a Padawan, survive past the Clone Wars and past Order 66.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
Because, like, you know, I mean, yeah, Anakin's the Chosen One and everything, but he was raised in a peaceful time, and Ahsoka's not. So I think she's far more, I don't want to say reliable, that's not the word I'm looking for.
He wasn't raised long in a peaceful time.
Yeah, I mean, he did see some battles, too, and we know that from the Obi-Wan and Anakin comic, that he saw some battles as well, but I mean, like, there wasn't a massive intergalactic war. He probably had way more downtime than Ahsoka did. Yeah, it was, I had to think about that, they were probably, like, I don't think Ahsoka actually knows what it means to be a peacekeeper. I don't think that's a concept that she has ever really considered or thought about.
Yeah, she's never had to do it, yeah.
Mm-hmm. And, very last thing. Last week I was saying that Peele seemed just like a really weird Jedi because he just didn't seem very Jedi-like, and he didn't really care for, like, the loss of life of his men dying and stuff like that. But as he was dying, he got that Jedi... Sorry, I'm choking on a jelly belly. When he was dying, he got that Jedi side of him because he pretty much said to Ahsoka, hey, you're here, and I need you to step up. And he doesn't mention the Force, but I kind of felt like it was implied that the Force put her there to be with him, and he recognized that.
Right. Well, he didn't have time to say much. He had to, like... I thought it was really dumb of her to be sort of like, no, I can't take the information. I'm not worthy. And it's like, look, you have no choice. Really, it's like... That's just a weird... It's just like, no, I can't take that information, so we'll lose.
I didn't think it was dumb. I mean, because at the end of the day, she's still a 14-year-old girl.
Right,
and she's
right.
Still a student. And so, like, I mean, she is suddenly a 14-year-old girl student being shoved in the most important position of this mission that she wasn't even supposed to be on in the first place, and she lied to get there. So, I mean, I could see that guilt, like, where she's just like, you know, this is very important. I should get, like, I need an adult. Like, she had an I need an adult moment. She was just like, I should get an adult because I can't, yeah. I can't do this. And Peele was like, we don't have time. Here's the information. So, like, I didn't think that was stupid of her. I mean, she's a student that got suddenly thrust into a huge, important role of this. And I thought it was a very nice moment because... We don't always get doubt out of her and stuff like that. And she was just like, I fucked up and I fucked up again and you're dead now and I'm fucking up. So, and that's one of the reasons I've always liked Ahsoka is because she knows she fucks up and she learns from it. So,
I'd be screwed. I wouldn't be able to concentrate after that. I'd just be like, whatever information he gave her, I'd just be like rolling it, repeating it over and over in my head.
I know.
Anybody have a pen and paper? Oh, no, that's right. It's Star Wars. There aren't any pens and papers. Shit.
Paper. I know. I'd just be like, if Anakin would start talking, I'd be like, don't talk to me. What was that number? Fuck Anakin! Damn it!
Anakin would be going, 5497, AB 7497. What are you thinking of? 94222221.
Hike.
That's what I used to do whenever anybody was trying to memorize a phone number or something.
I know. And then you would just yell hike at the end like you're throwing a football. Well, I don't have anything else.
Nope, me neither.
And polish up this act?
Yes.
Alright. Act three.
Alright.
With my favorite sassy commander. I'm very excited. Right in the first line. So, in space, Plo Koon arrives with the freaking wolf pack! Wolf pack! Because it has sassy Commander Wolf, even though he doesn't speak at all in this episode. But hooray anyway! I love you, Commander Wolf. You're my fourth favorite clone. I really can't wait till we get to your season 4 episode where you spend the entire episode literally just eye-rolling every scene you're in. He just eye-rolls every freaking scene he's in. And I love him. Hi, Commander Wolf. You're my fourth favorite clone. I love you. Anyway, Plo Koon leads out a group of gunships while the other Jedi lead a space battle against the blockade. Back on the planet, the heroes have reached the rendezvous point. It's an island in the middle of a pool of lava. They shoot across some cables to the island. Rex and Farkin scoot across first, but then Sobek arrives and they start fighting it out. Anakin and Obi-Wan both steal, I misspelled, use the wrong steal. Both steal droid scooters to fight in the air while Ahsoka, Rex, and Fives guard the island. Five shoots down Sobek, who crashes in front of Farkin. And Sobek snatches up Farkin, screaming, "If I can't have the information, then no one can!" And he lifts Tarkin into the air to throw him in the lava. And he kills Tarkin in a fiery pit! Yes, Tarkin is dead! Sobek is the greatest hero in all of Star Wars history! What? That didn't happen? Okay, it didn't happen. No, it didn't. Ahsoka rushes in and pulls out, you know, pulls an Anakin. She kills Sobek in the bag and kills him there, and she saves Tarkin. Tarkin is saved. And Tarkin's not even, like, happy about it. He sasses off to Anakin that he trained Ahsoka well because he's a jerk, and I don't like him. They don't have time to talk it over, though, because Plo Koon shows up with the rescue ship. And the rest of the droids arrive because somehow they walked across a pool of lava? It's unclear. And the heroes jump into the ship and fly away, finally escaping the planet. They make a daring flight back to the Republic cruisers and zip back to Coruscant. Yoda greets the hero, and they all take a moment to mourn Master Peel. Then they get to business, needing to debrief Ahsoka and Tarkin. And Farkin is like, "Yeah, I don't like the Jedi. I'm going to tell my pal Palpatine." Get it? Pal isn't his name because he's my Palpatine. And no one cares. Ahsoka says that she will only tell the Jedi Council, so Tarkin can go fucking himself. Yoda will be like, "Get it, girl." And he will discuss with Palpatine what to do. Anakin asks Plo Koon if he assigned Ahsoka to the mission in the first place. Plo looks at Ahsoka's face and goes, "Welp, I guess I did." And Farkin gives Anakin an evil bro handshake and gives him some props before leaving. And Daddy Obi-Wan is like, "Yeah, you can't hang out with him anymore without my permission ever again." And Anakin is like,
"Gosh, Obi-Wan's so stupid. Tarkin is, like, super cool. I want to be like Tarkin."
And Daddy Obi-Wan is like, "And you're grounded." The end.
I hate you.
Yeah, I know. Tell me I'm Mustafar. Go to your room.
Nice Wilhelm scream in this one.
I know! I forgot about the Wilhelm scream.
This has two instances of a common argument I have, not only in Star Wars, Clone Wars, but in just general lava-ness, is, like, when you have that island of lava, for one, actually, the whole environment would probably be so hot, but when you are going on a wire over that lava, you should just be cooked like a hot dog. Mm-hmm. Farkin doesn't have armor on, even. His like, anybody with, like, fabric, it should have been, like, going up in flit, you know? Nobody should have had any eyebrows and any... That's just... And then there's a second, and you mentioned it in your synopsis, where they finally get onto the island, and then the droids start coming over the side of the island, and you're like, "Wait a minute." Did they just come out of the ground or something, or come out of the lava? Wouldn't they be red hot and dripping with lava then if they did that? You know, so it was kind of weird. It was like, where the hell did they come from?
The only thing I can think is that they just jumped it.
I guess.
But even then, we don't see them jumping.
But, it's just like, the hotness of, like, you know, when they throw a body in it or somebody falls, you'll see him burst into flames when they get near it.
We saw that with Master Peel. They were lowering him down, and he started catching fire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And, I mean, it is a little hotter as you get closer to that lava, but you got to think about it. That's all just heat radiating up. It's not like if you get 50 more feet above it, you're still at the entrance to where all the heat's coming out. You're just going to get crispified. So that's just a pet peeve of mine, that if they were realistic about it, you wouldn't be able to do this story. So I guess I can't complain too much. And I guess you should be partially happy, because Farkin at least got a little bit beat up, you know, a little bit of an ass whooping.
He should have got thrown into the lava.
At least he thought he was going to get thrown into the lava for a second there, you know?
Yeah, I mean, it's kind of the thing, like, you know, this entire time, Tarkin's not going to die and stuff like that, but I can dream.
Right, right.
And we do get Ahsoka shanking a guy, so that was really cool. So, got me in crispies.
But that's really all the notes I had for this end of this. It was, not quite as fun as it was. The resolution was just sort of like, okay, it resolved, you know?
I kind of want to show it was like there's a little bit more like peer pressure. I'm just like, peer pressure. Tell me, Ahsoka. She's like, shut up, Farkin. I don't like you. Just because my master likes you doesn't mean I do.
I like the touch at the end that it's all sort of, they got their information, but the thing is, it's ruined. It's for nothing, because Palpatine's going to get it anyway. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
It's like you can't win. Anything that the Republic gets, Palpatine gets too. So it's going to both sides. So all those clone deaths for nothing.
Echo. So I want to talk about the possible other ending where Tarkin kills Sobek for 2 seconds.
Okay.
Because I think both endings are good endings for completely different reasons. You know, the actual one we see where Ahsoka kills him, because that's big for Ahsoka. But I have to agree with Filoni. I think Tarkin killing Sobek would have been better. Because
I know how
they
could have solved their problem is they could have just had Anakin see it and nobody else see it.
Mm-hmm.
Anakin would be the only witness. And then you could totally have Anakin let that slide ethically, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And be just like, you know, and that would be, and that would add to the ethic, you know, to the slide of Anakin into the dark side. So they could have done it that way, you know. They just would have had nobody else see him.
Yeah.
Even if some clones saw him, the clones would be like, yeah, you know, whatever.
Good job.
Mm-hmm.
But like, season 3 is a time of Clone Wars where the war starts to make a turn and everything goes downhill to the end of the show.
Yep.
Because, like, the heroes start winning less and less, and their losses start piling up, and people start dying more quickly. So I think that would have been, like, of course, like, you know, they didn't know that this was going to be right smack dab the middle of the show, because they were originally planning for 8 seasons, not 3, or not 6. So this is, like, right smack dab in the middle of the show, and so I think that would have been a very great turning point, because, you know, season 4, we just start going way downhill into darkness land. And it's just a downward slide ever since. And I thought, you know, this pretty much being the end of the happy episodes and, like, the end of, like, them winning all the time, having Tarkin being that signal beam of, like, bam, this is what the Republic's becoming, would have been awesome.
I agree.
But this is also a big moment for Ahsoka, too. I mean, Ahsoka...
Well, yeah, they gave it a similar sort of moment, you know, but, yeah...
But I think Ahsoka did it more because she was like, we need the information!
Yeah, yeah.
No, Filoni said that they wrote 3 endings for the episode, and we only know about 2 of them, so I have to wonder what the 3rd one is.
Everybody has a picnic.
Sobek is like, you guys are nice, and they're like, Sobek can be our friend! He's just like, oh, guys! And then,
they
like,
find out their mothers have the same name, and...
Martha. My mom's name is Martha, too. Only it's Shmi. And, like, Tarkin's drowning in the lava behind them, just like, ah, blah, blah, blah. And Fives is, like, pushing him under with his boot and, like, poking his head with a stick, and he's, like, slowly, like, sinking in, and Fives, like, poking him some more, and Rex just comes over, and he's just like, stop playing. He's just like, but it's fun. And, like, Rex gives Tarkin a few pokes, and he's just like, oh, that is fun. Yeah, but I was wondering what they're ending in. Another big successful part of this arc is setting up the super subtle future hints of Anakin Tarkin. It's like an evil meet cute for villains.
It is.
It's evil meet cute. It totally is. Oh, I'm sure there's people out there that sharp ship Anakin and Tarkin. Blech.
Anna Tarkin.
Tarkin.
Darthkin.
Darthkin! I don't know, I like Tarkakin? Anakin? Anyway. So let's talk about Anakin for a second, though. Do you feel like meeting Tarkin and having these talks with him over the course of the three episodes, and having been in this war for about a year and a half now, is making a big turning point for Anakin towards the dark side? Or do you think they haven't quite laid it on there yet?
I don't think the big turning point comes till episode 3. I think it's just chip, 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 chip. You know, he gets... It's every little step is just a little baby step. And he gets more and more used to just sort of casually killing. And probably even enjoying it to an extent. You know, but it's just sort of, at this point, it's just sort of this slow, gradual but eventual slide, you know. Tarkin's just another, you know, signpost on the road.
I just imagine like Anakin sitting on ice sliding across it, and then like a curling team comes up with their little brooms and they're like shuffling him along. That could have a slow slide.
Sure.
Do you know what curling is?
Oh, I know what curling is. I was raised in northern New York. Are you kidding me? I have never been curling myself, though, but I've seen curling in person.
I really want to try curling. Like, that's like when it's Winter Olympic times, I'm always just like, where's the curling?
Curling to me always reminded me of when you see, like, birds doing mating dances and stuff. Or animals doing weird, like, little instinctual mating dances where they're doing this complex procedure, but it makes no sense. Mm-hmm. That's what curling always looks like when it's being performed.
But good lord, I will always watch it. And my last note is, I just wish that Rex did more this arc.
Of course you do.
But he's been so quiet all season. Like, he hasn't really been in the majority of the season because, like, they've had, like, Padme episodes or, like, Ahsoka episodes or Anakin. Like, you know, they have... Rex has barely been in the season, and this is, like, his first big chunk of three episodes that he was, like, in the season. So, I mean, I would have been happy if they cut out, like, a little Plo Koon scene just to give, like, Vives and Rex, like, 10 seconds of them walking along, and Rex just being like, hey, I'm sorry about Echo, and Vives just being like, thanks, man. That's all I needed.
You're running out of time this season.
I know. And, like, or, like, having him being like, I'm sorry about Echo, and, like, probably saying something like, oh, they will be too. Just, like, something like that. Like, you know, just something to push both their characters along. Just something very, very small. But, like, there's just been, like, no Rex this season, and it hurts my feelings. I'm going to have a really hard time with this Rexvolution this episode. I've said that the last three episodes.
It's going to be the shortest Rexvolution of all time.
No, I'm just going to make up this day. Pretty young on this day's off. It's going to be fun. I'm looking forward to it. I'm not really thinking about it until I get there. So yeah, that's all I had for the end of the Citadel.
You ready to score this sucker up?
Yeah, you do it first because I'm eating Krispies.
Okay.
I'm enjoying my Krispies.
I like this whole arc. It was big. It was refreshing after...
Mortis.
After Mortis. I think even this being the wrap it all up one, this one was kind of the most boring one. Although, in the second part, the battle in the second part was pretty awesome Star Wars battle. So I'm not really like slagging on this episode. It's just the weakest of the three, I guess.
Mm-hmm.
I gave it a 7.5, which actually I think now if I look back, no, I gave the last one 8.5. So down a point for
little bit laggier than the other two, but I still a solid, really good episode.
Yeah, I mean, I think if they didn't jump back and forth to Plo Koon so much, like, we know Plo Koon is coming. We don't need to know their coordinates and everything.
I docked them a lava point, basically.
A lava point.
Yeah, minus one lava demerit.
Yeah. I think
one lava demerit for House Tarkin.
Ugh. House Tarkin. Ugh. Worst house of all. For me, the Citadel arc is so refreshing to get back to good old-fashioned Star Wars, and this episode is kind of like the nice cherry on top. We got a bunch of space battles, and some Jedi parkouring, and legacy characters like Tarkin, and character development with Ahsoka and Anakin. So it was a pretty straightforward episode, and I just really like it a lot. I think my only big gripe is that Rex did more throughout the entire arc. But I kind of agree. Like, now that I think about it and you pointed out, it was a little bit slower pacing than compared to the other two. And story-wise, I could have done without so many, like, Plo Koon just planning scenes and rather that towards...
A little bit of filler there.
Yeah, I didn't really think about that until you mentioned it. So I'm going to do it a 7.5 out of 10, too.
Ah, okay. Perfect alignment.
Yeah! I'm dabbing and you can't see it. Well, as always, we would love to hear your feedback on either iTunes or Twitter on the Two True Freaks Facebook page. And this week, our feedback comes from our Two True Freaks Facebook page for our episode, Witches of the Mist, from Mr. Paul C. Kelly.
All right, and Paul
C. My question is, did we do this one already? I couldn't remember, so I was just like, well, let me just put this one on here.
I don't remember. Okay, I'll read it again. If I read it before, I'll read it again.
I was looking through like the last few, and I was like, I don't see it, but I felt like we did this one already. So, all right, cool. Go away. Take it away.
All right. Paul C. Kelly says, haha, Darth Paul instead of Darth Maul. That would be cool, that would be cool for me personally, since his name is Paul C. Kelly. When I saw Force Awakens, I did not have time to look into... some of the character names. One was Poe, and when I first saw this, I thought his name was Paul, especially when Finn screams his name after the TIE fighter blows up. Was a little disappointed to find out later he was Poe. Anyways, unless you know a Paul, this is a bit random. We know some Pauls. So what do you both think? Wouldn't Savage and Maul look great on a McDonald's logo?
In their Happy Meal? They're yellow and red.
Yeah. They're missing a Happy Meal. I mean, McDonald's is definitely licensed enough Star Wars. Especially if Savage has a yellow lightsaber, it could swerve into an M shape. Man, McDonald's lost. They could have totally done that. Lastly, I'll throw this out there for you two to maybe discuss. If Clone Wars characters were to eat at a restaurant on Earth, where would they go? Like, who would go for, like, a Wendy's, and who would be more of a Capital Grill type? That question is a bit out there, but listening to your discussions, you both seem to like these diversions. Yes, we do. Mm-hmm. Lots of characters, of course, so maybe choose, like, three or four from episode Ha? Or Best Scenarios? From the episode, or Best Scenarios. I'll leave it up to you.
Count Dooku would only eat in fancy-ass restaurants. Like, if it's not, like, if it doesn't have a Michelin star, Count Dooku's not eating there.
Oh, it's going to be a fancy steakhouse, too. He's going to have a nice steak laid out in front of him.
He's going to have, like, a Mon Calamari head, and he's just, like, sucking out the eyeballs.
Yoda would be, like, I would see Yoda, like, in street vendors in, like, Thailand, like, eating, like, or like, China, like, eating, like... deep-fried crickets and stuff like that. Ooh, you know?
Yeah. Mace Windu would eat just, like, bread and, like, challah. And just, like, very basic things, like a strict diet. He'd be the vegan of the group.
Who would?
Mace Windu. He'd have, like, the strict diet of just, like, bread and challah or something.
Yeah, he would have... It wouldn't even be vegan. It would be something even weirder, like something he made up all himself, or he'd be like, is it macrobiotic where they cook all their food to mush or something, or, you know, he'd be like, I only eat raw food, you know, that's plucked by
you know, a 12-year-old Jedi child, you know, and washed in purified water. Yeah. He'd be a dick, like, and he'd be like, don't microwave my plate. Microwaving the plate absorbs the bad radiation and ruins the chi of my food. Really knew a guy like that when I worked at a vegetarian restaurant. Wouldn't use plates with color on them. If they were a ceramic plate, if they had color on them, because the color vibes would mess up the food chi. And none of his food could be microwaved either. It all had to be heated up with just radiant heat, or else the chi was done. The chi is gone.
And then Anakin and Obi-Wan would eat similar things, but like the college student version and like the adult version. So Anakin would like eat Taco Bell, and like Obi-Wan would eat like Chipotle, or Anakin would eat like McDonald's, and Obi-Wan would eat like Five Guys or like Red Robin or something.
I'd like to see Chewbacca. I'm going out of Clone Wars, but I could see Chewie eating at one of those like Texas all, like, where like if you can finish this steak, you get your meal for free type thing.
He would eat like a whole wampa.
He and Han would be at the like all you can eat buffet in Las Vegas on the casino.
He'd be like, Chewie, these are the biggest shrimps.
This is the biggest shrimps I've ever seen, Chewie.
Look at the shrimps. Luke would just be, like, happy to have a meal because he's from Tatooine and bored and like, poor. Actually, he'd be at, like, the drink bar because he'd be like, water is coming out of the skies. Look at all the water. He'd be, like, pushing the drink machine thing and watching the water flow and just being like, oh, I just fed, like, 5 families on Tatooine. And I feel like Leia's the kind of person, like, raised as a princess. Like, if she could sneak out and have fast food, she would totally do it. She'd be like, yes.
She'd be like, In-N-Out Burger.
It's like Britney Spears. Like, and I don't mean that in a terrible way, but I remember reading a story that, like, because of her, like, diet and everything like that, like, if Britney had, like, a really particularly hard day, like, she would have to work out, and then she could have Taco. Like, she had to do things and work out and everything before she could have Taco Bell, and that's how I feel like Leia would be. Because she would do all the stuff, and then she would, like, sneak out and, like, go to, like, fast food and just be like, yes! I think, like, Ahsoka would just have whatever Anakin's having. It would just be eating like Taco Locos at like
he's
like,
buying, you know, yeah.
Like, well, those, like,
Obi-Wan would be totally the diner guy, as we saw in episode 2, you know.
But I think he would, like, if he had his choice, he would go to like a nice diner opposed to like, say, a Waffle House.
Waffle House.
So there you go, Paul. We discussed. Oh, wait, are we doing... Which one are we doing first?
It's crinkle time. It's... What's... Today is Choco Nut.
Okay, we're doing that one. Okay.
Let me see if I can find... Pull up Dario's list here and see what it says about the Choco Nut. Choco Nut is peanut milk chocolate from the Philippines. That's all it says. I've had some Choco Nut before. There were several Choco Nuts. So I know what they taste like. They are delicious.
I love chocolate. I love peanut butter. These smell so good.
They're basically fudge. God. They're basically peanut butter chocolate fudge.
Oh my god. It's so good.
Melt in your mouth.
But it's not like a wet, it's almost like a dry chocolate.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Well, it gets that consistency that fudge does, where it's a little crunchy when you bite into it, but as it sits in your mouth, it gets melty.
Mmm, it's so good.
Mm-hmm.
If you don't know what we're doing, Chris hates American Kit Kats. And so, what he did, he bitched about it. And so his co-podcaster for Eat It and Beat It, Dario, who's a flight attendant, was just like, here, let me send you guys candy to review from all over the world. And we were just like, yeah.
And then Hope started bitching because she wasn't getting any candy. Now she gets candy, too.
Mm-hmm.
And it's an all-around sugar-thon, thanks to Dario Gonzalez.
Special tonight, because we're doing 2 episodes.
Mmm. Very good.
Well, thank you, Dario.
It's a good that's a tiny one, too, because we're doing 2 shows tonight, so there's more candy coming up for us.
Mm-hmm. Well, where can people find you, Chris?
You can find me at the grand headquarters of Two True Freaks at twotruefreaks.com. Imagine that being the name of it. Where we have all our podcasts lined up. Very exciting.
It should be out by now. I just recorded a podcast with Scott Gardner.
Woo!
Yep. So there's a new Two True Freaks with the actual Two True Freaks out there. I suggest you go download it. You can go to Facebook, and we have a Two True Freaks page on there, and then you can see all the podcasts that come up as we post them, as you would if you went to twotruefreaks.com. And we have the Two True Freaks Cantina, where you can just talk nerd shit with all the Two True Freaks people who are over at twotruefreaks.com. We got a Twitter page run by Gene, the podcasting machine.
Gene.
And there's a J Guys and Jedi Twitter run by you.
Yeah.
And yeah. What about you? You got some stuff going on too. Speaking of the internets.
Well, like you said, I run our Twitter page. It is at J Guys and Jedi, and you can also find me on Twitter at Hope Molinex. And I'm also the news writer for What the Fangirl. So, yeah, I'm so far behind on all my What the Fangirl stuff, guys. I haven't posted in, like, forever. I'm so far behind on life. My life is far behind, but it's fine. I'm going at my own pace. It's okay. Sometimes you just gotta take months off and do what you gotta do.
That's what they say.
Yeah, you gotta just take care of yourself before you can take care of other people. Airplane rules, and lately I've been just trying to take care of my sister's wedding, so that just made me a hypocrite of everything I just said.
I've always wanted to say this. And hey, people, be careful out there.
If you shop at Amazon.com, please consider using the link at twotruefreaks.com to shop there. If you use this link to go to Amazon and then you shop, Two True Freaks gets a little cut of what you buy, and it doesn't cost you anything extra. So you get to shop as usual and help out the Two True Freaks at the same time.
Visit our website at twotruefreaks.com. Two True Freaks is always spelled T-W-O. T-R-U-E-F-R-E-A-K-S.
You can email Two True Freaks directly at twotruefreaks@gmail.com.
Two True Freaks and all of its excellent affiliates are available on iTunes, and you can choose to subscribe to either the entire network if you wish, or pick whichever individual shows you want to follow. We have so many shows to choose from, there's just bound to be one that appeals to your particular fandom. Just search Two True Freaks with an exclamation mark at the end, space, and the number 2.
You can find Two True Freaks on Facebook. Just search for Two True Freaks.
Dumbass.
If you ever leave your house and you actually have friends, why don't you tell them about Two True Freaks?
If you've enjoyed our show, please, won't you take a moment to rate us on iTunes? That helps others find the show too.
Thanks for listening.
And join us every Monday for new episodes of
Two True Freaks.
We were finally invited aboard one of these spacecraft, which landed near Ann Arbor, Michigan on October the 24th of 1954. This is a drawing of the craft. As I was leaving the craft, the commander, Soltek, said, "Soon others of your people will be able to have an experience similar to this."